Flat Earthers did it again, you know, this week. They I swear they just do it for publicity, because they put, the Flat Earthers have millions of supporters around the globe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get that, did you?
I did.
Every 1 billion people, there's one fucking idiot, and that's pretty much there.
Around the globe, Flat Earthers. Anyway, yeah.
Around the globe.
He got it. He got it. It's like a Joey.
You can't tell that Duncan's had a drink, can you? Jesus. It's like, 10 second it's like delay. Sorry.
It's like a Joey moment from Friends, isn't it? He gets it 10 seconds later.
I've got some good questions tonight.
I am excited for your questions in that case.
I did not go on the internet for these ones.
That was the most placating answer ever from Adam. I'm excited for your questions in that case.
No, he was concentrating on doing something, I think.
I was. Oh, no,
otherwise, we're going to have a problem.
Don't let my demeanor fool you. My enthusiasm is at an all-time high.
You still sound sarcastic, for fuck's sake.
That's just my voice. I don't know what your problem is. You're being a right psychy bastard today. Episode 3, Series 2, largest disability podcast in the world. Fresh off our Lands on Tour, the Grumpy Gits are back, baby. I am your glorious host, as always, Adam Pearson. And again, as always, because consistency, quite important. Who knew? Are my three wondrous co-hosts. First, he can't step outside his house without getting in the papers. His words, not mine. I'll go on further. He can't step outside his house. End of sentence. How are you doing, Simon Sampson?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing good. As always, excited to be here, hanging out with three of my very good friends, discussing the world of disability in a way that's accessible and doesn't rely on celebrities from El Dorado.
Yeah, so I'm a friend of Tony McHale, and he's the one who created El Dorado. And I'm still waiting for that phone call saying, why are you slagging me off on your podcast? But anyway, that's a different story altogether. More importantly, we hit 1 million views on our last show. From season one, season two, we hit 1 million views. So when in editing, you'll see Duncan has put a little balloon going up above my hand.
And I have a question for you, Mr. Simon Sampson, good sir. If the Incredible Hulk ascended to the throne and became royalty, what would that make him?
A big green king.
A green king, absolutely. Yes. Speaking of green king, segue, take it away, Simon.
So this week we are happily being sponsored by Green King Pubs, where you can actually get an average meal. And then they're never going to come back to us. I actually spoke to Becky, who actually sent us 10 vouchers, which we're going to give away in the show later. And she's going to send this out to her 40,000 employees to watch this, to say you can get an average meal at Green King Pubs. But anyway.
What defines an average meal?
You know, a well-cooked steak, a well-cooked gammon, you know, maybe a jacket potato with some cheese and beans, and you can also get drinks as well.
Oh, this is the worst. This is the worst advert ever. Hey, you. Yes, you. Do you like the quality of Wetherspoons but find the crowd a bit rough? They drink in.
But to be honest, we are... To be honest, we only get sponsored by people which services we actually use. So we actually do go to Green King Pubs and we do enjoy it. So we're very happy to be sponsored by them this week, on a serious note. So thank you very much. And we'll tell you how to get your hands on some vouchers later in the show.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. Also joining us, many of you will know him as the lead guitarist in the Australian prog rock band Smiling Politely. But to us, he's just Duncan Casburn. Duncan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm trying to think of what my fellow bandmates are smiling politely would think of being labelled as prog rock. They were like, we're punk, we're punk, we're all punk. I wasn't allowed to play my guitar solos or anything. He was like, shut up, you're just playing too much. Yeah.
And how's your week been, good sir?
Oh, I'll talk about it a little more later, but it's been one of those weeks with blessings in disguise. It's such a shame it's such a fucking good disguise, to be honest.
Well, I already know a little bit. Have you done something with your beard? It's looking fuller than when I last saw you.
No, it's just growth.
It grows. That's what hair does.
It does. Well, I'm told.
Yeah, Adam's still not hit puberty. That's why he can't grow a beard.
I really haven't. I don't know how. I mean, it's already huge. So when I hit puberty, shit, boom. Gonna the only scaffolding to keep it all tight and well supported. Anyway, on that wonderfully creepy note, moving on to our final presenter, who is described by Dorman up and down Southampton as that guy. How are you doing, Chris Lee-Smith?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. I've been incredibly bored. You know, there's no movies, no games. I'm just so bored at the moment. This is a blessing. This is the first time I've been entertained in about 2 weeks. I did get a new phone, though.
Ooh, what'd you get?
The Flip Samsung. You see that? It's not an advert. We're not sponsored by Samsung. Don't worry. As if we'd be sponsored by Samsung.
Green King are never going to come back to us now. I mean, how can you advertise a phone from Samsung when we're being sponsored by Green King?
I'm not happy about that. It's just a phone that flips. That I thought it would be a lot better than what it is, but it just flips. That's it.
Yeah, I had one of those 20. I had one of those 20 years ago.
No, you didn't.
You had
a flip phone. That was it. But
you
no,
get apart scared from... that you're going to crack the screen every time you hang up on a prank caller or a sales marketer.
No, because it's what's called flexiglass. You get a little bump there, but yeah. Apart from that, it's pretty good. Plus, it does split screen, so you can kind of go like that, and then you get two screens. So. It's all right. I'm still getting used to it, but I mean that's my entertainment at the moment, so it's pretty dire.
Anyway, I'm glad we're on films because that segues into something that we're going to do later. We have another segment before that. I do know the format of this show, trust me. But I also, like one of our other hosts, have had a drink or two. Can you guess who else? Answers on a postcard. Chris Lee-Smith, ridiculous questions. To quote the lovely Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot.
Okay, first question is, what is the worst thing you've ever smelt and tasted?
Oh, this is really straightforward for me. When I was in Vietnam, they had durian fruit, and it stinks, and it tastes how it smells, which is like poo. So, yeah. Durian.
Is that prickly big fruit? I've heard of it. And yeah, you know when it's cracked open because you can just smell shit.
Yeah, it's illegal to have it on public transport. It's illegal to consume it on public transport.
That's a really good one. That's
just
a really good one.
Just waiting for the segue for later on for that. There's a transport link there.
What have I eaten, which is really nasty? I tell you what I don't like, and I don't like the smell of, and I don't like touching it. It's calamari. Squid.
Oh, just, that's good.
Yeah. It's so stretchy and squeezy and squashy, and you know, it looks like it's alive, and you think a good vet could bring it back to life. It just doesn't belong on a front. I mean, I'm going over to Spain in a few weeks' time, which is going to be quite nice, and they're going to serve me calamari every night. I'm going, yeah, nasty.
I absolutely 100% agree. I remember thinking it was onion rings. And then I bit it because it was, it was battered and I bit into it. And of course, when you bite into it, the batter comes off and you realize that it's octopus and it's frigging horrible. So,
yeah, nobody needs that in their life.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't. Calamari is amazing stuff. Yep. I love it.
It's great. It's also squid, not octopus, Lee-Smith.
Thank you. I hate it. So That fact means nothing to me.
You've only just got your second name back. Don't make me take it away.
You never took it away. You just forgot it. Don't take credit for it.
Now you're just nitpicking. Stop it.
Our crowning achievement from the NADEX conference a couple of weeks ago was that Adam and I went out and got Chris a coffee and actually specifically got Chris No Name with on a Starbucks.
And we've met. Andy's met my kids.
Yeah.
But never thought about the surname. Duncan, what's your answer?
I've got to say liver. My dad going on about, I don't know, it's almost like when you speak to your grandfather about the war. It's kind of like, liver and bacon, blah, blah, blah. He gave me this stuff, and I've never tasted anything as bad as liver.
Just liver in general that you could buy at the supermarket? Or
he did it with bacon, and it's like, it's really good, it's really good. It's like, it sounds like something, like genuinely, during the war, you used to have dry bread, and so some people really liked their dry bread because that was what they had back in the day. It was like that kind of thing. It was almost like... I'm sure it was a PTSD-related thing. I mean, it was just awful.
Go on, Simon.
Can I come back to my story for 1 second, if that's okay?
Yep.
What about you? What about you?
I have just remembered a story that happened at my grandmother's when I was very young. I was about 5 or 6. And what it was, all the beef drippings and stuff and all the fat from the turkeys and the thing at Christmas dinner? She just tipped it into a bowl, okay? And I didn't know that was a thing at the time. And what happened was it settles, and the fat settles on top and then I think the liquid's underneath. And I thought it was a trifle because she put it next to the desserts. So I got a spoon, scooped it up, and went, yeah. And I ate a whole load of fat, which, yeah. That wasn't very pleasant.
I've got one that probably beats all of you. I came in from a night out, and we lived in a 2-bedroom house. Our family, I had a brother and a sister, and obviously my mum and dad. And me and my brother shared a room. I came in, jumped into bed. Brother's asleep, really thirsty in the middle of the night. So I knew I kept a Coke bottle on sort of the dresser between our beds. So I grabbed it, pitch black, opened it, started drinking it, realized my brother had taken a piss in the bottle because he was too lazy to go downstairs. So yeah, I can't remember if I threw up or not. It was a daze, but I knew that it was a piss because he was laughing in the morning that he'd been a lazy bastard and decided to just piss in a bottle rather than going downstairs in the toilet. So that was the worst thing that I've ever tasted.
It might speak to grossness, but also if he was managing to piss into a Coke bottle, that says something about the sad lack of girth.
Yeah.
I didn't really question it, to be honest. I had piss in my mouth, so it wasn't my first thought. Let's move on to the second question.
Pays for that kind of stuff.
Right. What's the worst customer service you've ever experienced? I mean, this is right up Simon Street. Look how excited he is. I'm in the paper today because somebody let me down.
Go on, Simon, have your moment. I'm not going to take this
from
Simon.
Not so greedy.
Go nuts.
The thing is, the problem is disabled people like to bitch, and we do it really well. And so if, for example, I moan about something, it gets 10, 20,000 views on Facebook and YouTube because of the amount of followers I've got on Ability Access. I wouldn't say it's the worst experience, but there is one that I wrote an article about a couple of years ago, and it's to do with Costco. And what it was is I went to Costco and, as you do, just a bit of shopping, and I was in my mobility scooter, and the bloke who's handing out chicken pieces... Yeah, comes up to me, kicks my tires like he's testing a car. I'm going to have that car. Yeah. And goes, why are you in this thing? And I was like, really? Are you asking me like for my medical, Do you actually want an educational experience, or are you just fascinated about me being in a mobility scooter? And I and my response was, okay, let me have your email address. And he goes, excuse me, what? So what? Yeah, I mean, you're asking me a personal question. Can I get your email address? And he goes, no. And he goes, why do you want my email address? I go, oh, I'll email you my my medical records so you can go through the full history, if you want, of my medical condition. And he wasn't best pleased about that. So after I made a letter of awareness to Costco, they put them all through sensitivity training on how not to ask about someone's disability if they're in a mobility scooter or wheelchair.
All that ends well. Let's move on to Adam. What's the worst customer service you've ever experienced?
Oh, that's a really tricky one, because I'm normally...
You're so laid back, aren't you?
I'm like normally proper chill. I had a security guard and a few floor staff drive up to me at UK Comic Con. Two of them were just like, oh my God, what's wrong with your face? And one guy said I had mad cosplay, bro. And so I complained to UK Comic Con. And yeah, not paid for tickets since.
Nice. Another happy ending. Let's go to Duncan. Should make it 3 out of 3. What's the worst customer service you've ever experienced?
Well, I had to fly, when I was in Australia, I had to come fly to the UK to see my mum. It was when my stepfather had passed away. And I flew, I won't mention the airline because I don't know if I legally can anymore. But... We'd taken off and we were seriously like 6 minutes into the flight. We'd sort of hit that point where they're starting to level out. And we hit turbulence. And I'd got a seat at the front of the economy. So I had the legroom. I was really quite proud of myself that I managed to wangle this. So I'm sitting there and they've wheeled out the coffee car from the little kitchenette thing they have. And we've hit turbulence. And the plane's dropped, I don't know how far. The entire coffee cart launched up, fell over onto my legs. Hot coffee hit me all over. I was drenched with stinking, really hot coffee, burned. And they were like, oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was seatbelted in as well, because, of course, you need a seatbelt on. So you're trying to move, but you can't. You're right. Like, ah!
Sounds like torture.
It was just horrible. I was
stuck in your seat. Coffee poured on you.
I'm not too sure if that's a bad experience rather than bad customer service.
Getting to the customer service. Let me finish the story, please.
I'll be quiet. I apologize.
Good grief. People interrupt. It drives me nuts.
carry on.
So I'm covered in coffee, and they come and, oh, that's right, they give me an ointment. Go touch your wounds up in toilets. So I've had to go into the, you know, the 2-foot by 2-foot cubicle and try and rub ointment onto wherever I was particularly hurt. I came out, they just stuck some towels over my seat. There were spare seats up in business class. I know this because they put me on it 5 minutes before landing.
Okay. They maybe someone got off.
Things, and I had to sit there in clothes that were covered in coffee for, this is an Australia-UK flight. So this was... I was on the way back, so it was from the UK. This was through to Dubai, so it's like an 8-hour flight. Stinking of coffee, really uncomfortable, but got to the airport. They said, well, we're going to get your doctor. He's going to go through customs, and then the doctor will be waiting for you. Got to the other side. Nobody was there. I waited for like half an hour, realised that if I didn't get moving, I was going to miss the second leg of the flight. Had to go there, still stinking, still had no chance to change. Got on. And the earphone plug wasn't working. So I couldn't watch TV for another 8 hours because I couldn't listen to anything. And, yeah, they didn't upgrade me. They didn't do anything. In the end, I put in a huge complaint and got the entire flight refunded, which bought my beautiful acoustic guitar I have now.
Another happy ending. Okay, let's move on to question 3. What's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? Anybody says they're partners, I am going to lose all respect for you, and I'm going to mock you as much as I possibly can. Let's start with probably the one that's going to do it most, Duncan.
What do you mean do it most?
The chances of doing it, of saying, my wife, in fact, you can't, because I remember a question before where you said the most relief. you were glad she was just a woman, not a hairy trucker. Let's start with Duncan.
For a moment. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen, I would have to say, the first time I saw an Aston Martin DB9.
Nice.
And it was just one of those rare moments of that is exquisite. The other example would be when I saw got the producer of with the CD I did with my band back in the day, the producer who owned this beautiful PRS guitar. And it had this, they call it Northern Lights finish. We'll find an image and put it up. It was just stunning. The guitar was worth like 12 grand or something stupid like that. And it was just love at first sight. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's go to Simon. What is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
I think it's probably, it's called a place called the Queen's View in Scotland.
Queen's View.
And by editing here, Queen's View. And by editing here it is. Here's a picture. Cheers, Duncan.
It could be Chris.
And, it's Chris. Duncan. I got my hopes up that I don't have to do the editing this week.
And I lived in Scotland for a number of years, and I worked in a hotel, and I was a training manager in a hotel called Kinnikun Loch Tummel Hotel, and it was in the middle of nowhere, and it's on Loch Tummel, and it was a 6 mile walk from the hotel to the Queen's View on this windy road, which cars should not be allowed down. On the side of the lock, and I arrived early morning to see the sunrise on the Queen's View, and it was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen.
Great answer. Let's hear about when Adam discovered OnlyFans. What's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, Adam?
My girlfriend's sister.
Yeah, update. Ex-girlfriend's sister.
How to lower the tone.
It is. Are you sticking with that answer? Or are you going to give a serious one?
I mean, who says that was... I'm joking. If she's watching this, she won't watch this. She's got more important things to do than watch this. I have too. I'm just really lonely. That's why I'm here.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah. Probably just most of Vietnam is just utterly stunning. Like great architecture, pagodas, these beautiful beaches and scenic views. So, yeah, Hanoi, Vietnam, gloriously, gloriously beautiful.
Good answer. I'd
like to apologise to my girlfriend for what was clearly a joke in the unlikely event that she does see this. In my defence, though...
Her sister's hot?
Yeah. No. In my defence, though, I...
Oh, God. It spoils it. I'm cutting that anyway. Making me sick. That's the end of stupid questions.
Well, there we go. Let's see how that turns out in the edit. And if I'm still dating in the next couple of weeks, because fuck you, Chris. Oh, we were talking about films earlier. And one of my favourite series of films is The Hobbit. But I want you to picture that we remade The Hobbit. And instead of going on an adventure to get a ring, Bilbo Baggins was going on an adventure to get a suit fitted. What would a great adventure to get a suit fitted look like? Well, turns out, massive pain in the arse. Isn't that right, Simon?
Oh, it's a massive pain in the arse, yes. So I travelled down to London the other day, and I did a video diary of it. And the reason I did a video diary of it is because for the past 7 years, I've not had the confidence to go on a train. And there is a logical story behind this. So I've interviewed pretty much the majority of Paralympians, disabled campaigners all across the UK, disabled celebrities. And all of them tell me a horror story, including Adam Pearson. and everyone's told me a horror story on train services if you're in a wheelchair or on a mobility scooter. Now, I would normally drive down to London. I prefer driving down to London because I can use my blue badge. You can park pretty much everywhere. It's, you know, and you don't get charged congestion charge. But because we had to get there in a day and back for work purposes, me and my wife took the train down. And I'm not going to lie, I was up pretty much most of the night really anxious about this because I was kind of expecting it to go wrong, hoping it wouldn't. And yeah, because of it, we ended up in the national press because of what's actually happened. So we got the train from Rugby train station to Houston, and that wasn't a bother at all. I called up the helpline the day before. I booked assistance for the time we were leaving, and they radioed ahead, and they had someone meet us at the platform at the other end and got us off the train quite easily. All you have to do is put a ramp down for me. That's all that's needed. The ramps are kept on the platform, but then you need a key to unlock it. So we thought, right, great, this is going to work fantastically. So, yeah, got in a taxi, no trouble at all, went to the suit fitting, went for dinner, and we started heading back. Got to Houston Station again, went to assistance, and they said, yeah, go down to platform 12, there's a bloke waiting for you. Brilliant. And then what I was expecting, obviously, them to, you know, radio ahead, we're getting off at Rugby. But when we got to Rugby, nobody was there. Now, my scooter weighs roughly about 40 kilograms, and so I can't lift it. My wife can't lift it. And it was only to the thanks of Newcastle supporters who were at Watford that day, who we got talking to on the train for a little while. They actually picked up my scooter and transferred it off for us. And it's very fortunate that I can actually transfer because I can't walk, but I hobbled off it using the train with my hands and then sat back down when they lifted the scooter off. But if those six people weren't there to lift the scooter off, we could have ended up in, you know, Nuneaton crew, wherever the train was going, and then we'd have to come back because you've only got a minute or so to get off the train. And the whole idea is all they had to do was radio ahead. So what we've done this week is, because I did a video diary of the event, and as I said, I was expecting it to go wrong. I was really hoping it wasn't going to go wrong. I've actually put out a call for those Newcastle supporters. And believe it or not, with the power of ability access, they've actually been in touch. And I said, look, thank you so much. I will pay for your next Newcastle tickets. Okay. And I said, look, choose a game. Buy the tickets and I'll refund it, okay? And I've been having a very nice chat with one of them this evening after it was in the newspapers and while I was on Ability Access. And they said they can't accept it, but what we'll do, the tickets cost 30 quid each. Would you donate it to a charity? So absolutely. So they've been really nice about it. I was really grateful. But the thing is you shouldn't need six football supporters traveling with you to get you off a train because I have catheters, I have medication, I also wear a CPAP machine at night. So I can't go and stop in a hotel if we end up somewhere where is unexpected. It's really dangerous. And I haven't spoken to the train company yet. Apparently they do want to speak to me, but this is a failing on enormous scale of something that could be avoided. And when we got to the train station, we had a chat with a member of staff. And all he said was, look, I'm sorry, we didn't get the message. Nobody's been in the office all evening. And I was like, how has nobody been in the office to receive messages from Houston train station or any train station to say there's a disabled person traveling?
And so how do we fix this is the obvious first question to ask you.
I mean, there needs to be a system where either you like a radar key or something. I don't know, because you've got to use a key to get the ramp out. Okay, and if you had a radar key or something along those lines, then a member of the public could do it for you quite easily. But also, I mean, I've been in a few taxis this weekend, and the new electric taxis in London, where the ramp just pulls out from underneath, which is really cool. And it's a simple attachment that could be fitted to trains at the disabled doors really easily, where you could just open the door, pull a ramp out, go down the ramp, and you're sorted. You know, it could be that simple.
And you say this has affected your confidence to use a train, and that there may be people listening to this who may be like somewhat wrongly dismissive of that and just be like, pussy. But like, what, this isn't a uncommon thing, is it? You're not the only one, are you?
No, I mean, there was this chap last week who was in the papers, and his wheelchair couldn't fit in the lifts at one of the tube stations because the lift was too narrow. There are people who have been. I mean, I've got a friend from the BBC who came up to visit me, and he ended up in Sheffield. It's like, and I live in Leicestershire, and it's just like this happens on a regular basis. This isn't a one-off thing. And the first time I've used a train since my injury, they get it wrong.
The lack of inclusion, isn't it? And I've got no doubt that these train companies probably at one time put on a DVD a few years back to show their staff, just to tick a box to say, right, we've done the disability training, this is what we do, and never actually followed it up. One person got a call. They thought it wasn't their problem because you're out of their station now. It's never going to come back on them. It's the person at the other end. I feel for you, mate, but it's just a lack of inclusion. It shouldn't be happening. And you're absolutely bang on why they can't make it accessible, that a ramp just can't come out, or even the press of a button that just puts a ramp out onto the platform, and anybody that is a wheelchair user or has a disability that needs a ramp, they just walk down. But you know what train companies are like? They smell of piss and they're horrible. And most of these things were built back in the 90s. They don't want to spend money, so they aren't going to give a monkeys about the disability community. It's a real shame. Get them in the papers.
And before we get into our second story, we alluded to it earlier, Hulk Royal, Hulk Smash, Hulk King, Green King, Average Food, great prices. Simon, how can people win one of these £20 vouchers? What do they have to do?
So to get the vouchers, all you have to do this evening is tweet Adam Pearson is awesome. And obviously you need to put in the Grumpy Gits in there. And if you could put Green King, that would be fantastic. And the first 10 people to do that will get a £20 voucher. And we will DM you to let you know we're going to send it in the post to you. Cheers.
Why Adam? What about the rest of us? Why is it Adam?
I'm just as confused as you are, because people are going to think that this was my idea. And you'll probably put something down the bottom now saying it was totally his idea, just to make me look like that guy. Moving on to our second story. If there are two things in this world I like, Duncan, number one, Graham Cole. Number two, mental health.
So a couple of weeks ago, some of you will have seen, we, as the Grumpy Gits, we were keynote speakers at Nadex, and we opened up the show. It was a fantastic experience, and we had a great few days together. And on the last day, we went down to Southampton. We took part in the Disability Union 1 year anniversary that was down there with Dan White and the other guys there. It was really good. But in the process of that, I got a panic phone call from my wife, because my daughter, her mental health had really sort of snapped. So for those who don't know, my daughter's autistic. She is 11. She's just hit puberty, just over Christmas when it really sort of started, but it's really started coming into its own in the last month or so. But she had a real mental, not a breakdown, but there was, I don't want to go into too much detail because it's not fair on my daughter to share too much. I don't think that would be fair, but the result was that she had to go to hospital, because basically it was the only way we could keep her safe and keep everybody else safe at the same time. I was in Southampton, and, you know, Segway, train. I had to wait for a train to get back to Devon where I live. But it was, what's amazed me is that as a result of heading to the hospital there, it triggered a lot of things that have been really positive. She's now got a psych involved, who's a specialist in child psychology. She's got CAMS now reinvested in actually finding out more about what's going on after 8 years of waiting to get an autism diagnosis, which only came through a month or so ago. And suddenly it's kicked up a gear. And it got me thinking, because I've had this, my wife won't mind me sharing this because she shared it quite openly herself. We had an experience about a year ago during lockdown where my wife was really low and at a point where she was on the verge of maybe doing something really stupid. And we called the crisis team, because what else do? You reach out, like, okay, this is getting bad. We need to get some support. Called the crisis team. The crisis team basically said, we can't help you at the moment. The reason we can't help you is because you're not actively trying to commit suicide. So basically, to put it in a different context, basically because she had the knife on the table in front of her and not in her hand, it didn't qualify. She had to be almost in the act of actually trying to do it or post for the crisis team to be able to kick in.
I can relate to this because I used to work for social services in adult mental health and physical disabilities. And the system is set up where you've actually got to almost physically hurt yourself before they will intervene. And that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
And the one of the reasons for this is because we had so many people taking advantage of the system, where they'll come in on a Friday afternoon and say, I'm homeless, and say, I'm feeling suicidal. And the only reason they'll do that is because we've got to put them in a hotel for that weekend. So the system doesn't reflect people like your wife who needs genuine help and assistance, because it's been set up where unless you actually get a knife and start hurting yourself and hurting your arm or something, they will not help you until you are physically in that dire straight need. By that time, you probably need hospital treatment rather than social services.
That's a knock-on effect, though, isn't it? That's a failing of another system, which is affecting a failing of this system. So really, the Tories are twats. That's all we need to really say about that, isn't it? Is that what what we were trying to get at, wasn't it?
I thought this was sort of like a money-saving expert thing as to how to get a free weekend if you're home. Like, where were we? Mental health.
I'll answer this. What I think is the problem is that, like, I think I understand what Simon's actually trying to say, is that we have a system in place that is only treating people when they're at the point of absolute crisis, not leading up to it. This is the point I'm trying to make myself. If we were to treat the people who are, and this isn't, you know, take away the whole sort of, you know, people who are maybe taking advantage of the system, wherever you go, whatever system you have, you are going to get people who do that. The problem that we have here is that because I'll go back to my daughter with this. We've got these things now happening that should have been happening years ago, that we were asking for years ago, because we reached a crisis point where it was undeniable. And I don't think it's down to that. I think it's down to the short-term budget and short-term vision. So we have this system in place that basically is, if we don't address this now, hopefully the problem will go away. Now, I've got a friend, had a friend back where I used to live, another part of Devon, who was under mental health services, was really struggling, had attempted to commit suicide 3 times within a week, but didn't have a social worker following up, didn't have any support, and ended up ending her life. A preventable death, a preventable situation, because the system is in place. And this was pre-lockdown, pre-COVID. This was just the system that was in place at the time. We're talking a few years back now, who's lost her life because she wasn't getting the support that really was required.
And if are we seeing a pattern here, though? I mean, but Simon, you put forward a campaign that it would cost $350 million because the NHS is getting sued because they weren't doing enough to prevent it. Now, Duncan's come up that it's costing money because they aren't preventing it. They're seeing these, they're not even short-term solutions. They're just trying to brush it under the rug and hoping it goes away, and then not doing anything when they get bit in the arse. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And here we are with another jump cut. What happened beforehand, who knows? All I know is you're a little bit insensitive. Well done, Simon. Anyway, on to my story. It's not painless, let's all move on. Those of you that know us well will know we have been dealing with dinner and dissection for quite some time now. and after a lot of back and forth, BBCing, arguing, being able to explain to you by a pigeon throwing tosser, we've won, sort of. Isn't that right, Simon Sampson?
Yes!
What the hell happened?
Sorry, Kate went out and she turned off the lights. So I had to turn them back on. Sorry.
This is our first sponsored show and it's amateur hour.
I don't think it's a win at all because Sam has not learned anything from what he's done. He's basically doing the same show on a different day with Joseph Merrick's recreation of his body. And apparently he's going to have two bodies now where someone can dress up as the Elephant Man as well, which is an interesting situation. So you can feel what it's like to be the Elephant Man, Joseph Merrick, if you wanted to.
Oh my God, I am so turning up for that. Can you imagine?
Every penny of the ticket price. Uh-huh. To see the faces of those people as you walk up.
Who would like to dress like that? And just, hello, my name is Adam Pearson. And done. Episode 4, sorted.
So he's changed it to called Victorian Medicine or something. And from what I understand, he's also added, I think he's called it Victorian Greats, where he's actually added Jack the Ripper, obviously serial killer. I'm not too sure how he's a Victorian Great rather than just a serial killer of prostitutes. But anyway, you know, he's pretty much hit the trifecta on insulting pretty much every community going. And it's just getting worse and worse.
Great.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sam, yes.
So, Ted Bundy's an American hero? What the?
And you're using Sam Terry's logic? Absolutely. Don't give him ideas. Do not give him ideas for his next show.
They could do a serial killer series with breakfast. We spell it cereal with a C.
Hello, my name is Samuel Perry, and welcome to my new event, Brunch with Harold Shipman. Like, that's not... But there's also other people that he's leaning on, who I'm almost certain, if you delve back far enough, have ties to eugenics. Like, I don't know what the hell he's thinking. And at what point do you, it's like arguing with a child at this point, isn't it? Kind of, no, that's not what I meant. You've just misinterpreted what's going on and what we're trying to do. And science is very underrepresented. Since when is science underrepresented?
So we've been working with the BBC on this for a couple of weeks now, and they are as sick about it as we are, to be honest. I know the BBC aren't supposed to have an opinion, but they are covering the story. They've been in contact with him a lot because they're following the story because obviously it affects Adam and any disabled person in the community. And it is just sickening and it's getting worse. He's not calming down. In fact, he's going to the next level and it just needs to say, you know, stop. And when Caroline from the BBC texted me earlier today, she said he's going on tour round in the hotels this time, and I'm just wondering what hotel businesses are actually going to support him once they find out what they are doing in their hotel.
You think he's just reluctant to pull out because of the funds he's poured in? If he pulls out now, he's lost everything, all his investment. Do you think it's doubling down for the sake of money?
Well, he should have insurance for that.
What, for being a knobhead? I don't think there's insurance for that. There's a get-out clause for being a knobhead and an ableist twat, yeah. Have you got that insurance yet? So, Simon, have you got insurance yet? Because I'm going to cut that if you haven't. I want to make sure you got insurance before. I mean, it's technically true, isn't it? Or is it just an opinion? I didn't go to law school.
No, you're not liable for calling someone a knobhead.
Okay.
You're liable if you say they don't provide a good service or they're rubbish at their job or whatever, then you are liable for it. However, if you call someone a dickhead or a knobhead, that's your personal opinion. You are allowed opinions.
Good.
However, if you slander someone or you libel someone, that's completely different.
Right.
You know, I can't go to Duncan and say he's a serial killer. Because I don't know if he is.
No, of course not.
He just watches a lot on it.
I'm not saying I am, but I could.
Yeah.
He knows what to do in theory, okay? He knows what to do.
Theory.
Yeah.
So. And that's where Sam Perry fails as well, because he was bullying this councillor in Newcastle. He sits on Newcastle City Council, who I spoke to, and he was bullying him because of comments he made to ITV, and saying, "I'm going to take you to the High Court." And you know, I told the council to let him because he's got no leg to stand on. You know, the council was giving your opinion. He says it doesn't belong in today's century. He's completely against it. He's allowed an opinion. That's an opinion.
Yeah.
If he says something about the service that it's, you know, horrible, terrible, you know, you don't get your money's worth or whatever, yeah, then that's an opinion, but it's slander because you haven't been to that event.
Anyway, so that's the update on dinner and dissection. I don't think we've heard the last from him, or he's heard the last from us. He's certainly not heard the last from me. Village Hotels, if you're watching. Hi, big fan of your work. And with all that being said, I think we should move on to our final and reoccurring segment. Chris, Lee Smith, I remembered it. What's been happening in the news, good sir?
This one, prankster cements head in microwave. Firefighters and wolves were seriously unimpressed after five of them spent an hour dealing with the case.
What?
Firefighters had to go out because a YouTuber had cemented his head in a microwave, and they spent an hour taking the microwave apart and chipping at fast-setting cement.
How is he still alive?
Yeah, he's fine. His friend was quick thinking because he put a straw in his mouth to make sure that he could still breathe.
Okay.
And then this was in Wolves, West Midlands Fire Service, who actually put it up, and they're telling people not to do it. As this falls into the realm of don't drink bleach, isn't it? It's don't cement your head in a microwave. Don't cement your head anywhere.
Cementing stupidity into the concrete. I mean,
he was trying to make a head mold.
That would be a winner.
Please tell me you got a picture of this.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I'll put it up.
I'll put it up. Yeah. It's a guy with a microwave on his head. I mean, there's not much else that you can see. Just a microwave on a guy's head that's been struck.
Whatever happens, it'll be done in 30 seconds.
He would have turned it on. Just watched him
I wonder if they put the timer on for how long it would take for the fireman to come. And they went, ping, as soon as they arrived.
But this is the issue with social media. People are doing stupid stuff to end up on YouTube with millions of hits. It's kids, isn't it?
That's not kids. That's insanity.
Gentlemen, before we go, I would like to try something with you, if I may. I played this game in a pub last night after a lot of Captain Morgan and Coke. Duncan, as you're the one up on my screen currently, would you be able to Google Florida Man and then your birthday? Not the year, just the date. So, Florida Man and then your birthday, and see what the first headline that comes up is.
Florida man accused of attacking mum when she couldn't dress his mannequin.
Nice.
Mm. Mine is Florida man tries to run over son who wouldn't take a bath.
Get stuffed.
What's this?
Did you know my birthday?
No.
Is that why, why you're doing this?
No, I seriously, I don't know, not care when your birthday is.
For fuck's sake. Florida man offered to pay officer with hamburger for oral sex.
Oh, we're so immature.
And so if you're watching this, please Google Florida man your birthday, tweet us at Grumpy Gets, and let's find out what the rest of you have gotten.
We'll never get a sponsor ever again.
So thank you for tuning in to what might be the last episode of the Grumpy Gets, hashtag Green King, hashtag average, hashtag oral sex. My name has been Adam Pearson. And I have been joined by a very disappointed looking Simon Sampson.
I've got to go back to Becky at Green King and say, thank you for sponsoring the podcast. We did take the mickey out of you a little, but we still love your meals.
We do. There's nothing. What's wrong with being average? Nothing.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Look at Crystal Palace. They're perfectly happy. I have been Adam Pearson. That is the nearly dead Simon Sampson. I apologise for the emails you're going to get tomorrow. We also had the dashing Mr. Duncan Casburn. And finally, last but by no means least, the cacophony of brilliance that is Chris Lee-Smith. See you all on the next one. Hashtag Adam Pearson is awesome. Grumpy King. Grumpy King, Grumpy Git, Green King.
Oh, please finish.
I'm trying, but it's so hard.
Let's just do episode 5. It's going to go on all week.
We'll see you all next episode.